Hey, we're on Wednesday of a coming week as we make our way towards Thanksgiving. And today, I want to give a couple quick announcements about immersion trips. You need to know the trips are filling up. So I'm going to highlight two trips real briefly that still have openings. One is going to the Arizona-Mexican border. There is a focus on this trip with issues of justice in immigration. So if you're interested in that one, good one to look at. Second trip we're looking at is going out to Newark, New Jersey. Two different options in Newark. One is at the North Reformed Church, where it's going to be doing ministry among the homeless. And then the other one's at Highland Park Reformed Church, doing relief work with Hurricane Sandy. Those are some trips that are open. Go to grow.hope.edu, our website, and you can sign up for those or other trips that are opening, but they are filling fast, so take care of business. Hey, today we have a friend of Hope College. Sandra Nickel is a graduate of Western Seminary and is a pastoring church in the Grand Rapids area. Mm-hmm. Sandra is a friend of Hope College, lives in the Howland community, has a son who is here at Hope Christian, and she gets the privilege to bring the word. Thank you, Christian, loving on his mom. I'm loving it. From Romans, so pray with us. Lord, bless you that we are your adopted children through Christ. And thank you that Sandra has been given a word by you to share with us today. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you welcome Sandra Nickel?
Thank you. It's a great honor and a privilege to be here. I feel like a fish behind, fish in water behind the pulpit. I love to preach, and I have a passion for the Word of God and for the people of God. So thank you for being here this morning. The Word of God comes to us from Romans 8, 12 through 17 this morning. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. This, my brothers and sisters, is the Word of God. Context. That's what they taught us in seminary. Context is everything. It's not true, but it's a big part of it. So let me talk to you a little bit about context. In chapter 7, Paul tells us that we have been released from the law. That's great news. We have been released, released from the law. But in verse 6, of chapter 7, he tells us that this happens so that we may serve in a new way. And that new way is the way of the Spirit. Then beginning on chapter 8, he again tells us that we have been set free from the law of sin and death. Again, we give a sigh of relief. We have been set free. And he already told us that this is not so we live as we please, but we live in the new way of the Spirit. Finally, in this passage, verse 12 especially, he tells us that we have an obligation, that we have an obligation, but it's not to the law, it's to the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. The word obligation sounds a lot like works, doesn't it? Yet, we know that we are justified by faith, not by works. We all agree that Christ's righteousness was imputed to us freely. We all agree that there is nothing we can do to make ourselves holy. So then why is it that Paul is talking about us having an obligation here? What is this obligation to the Spirit that we have now? The word obligation has many negative connotations. That's just the bottom line. It sounds like we have to pay back to God. We have to give him something back. We have to pay. This is the way of religion. There are many religions who are stuck in this. We have to pay. We have to earn. We have to give something back to God. It feels more natural. That's why it's successful this way, because it feels natural. It feels good to our flesh to pay back to God. It feels more natural than just receiving. Every one of us enjoys the thought of earning things, especially if we're competitive. Earning feels good. However, living this way, this new way of the Spirit that Paul is talking about, has nothing to do with works or earning things from God. So what is he talking about? Well, what other way is there, right? That's why I'm a Calvinist today. That's why I'm a Calvinist today at heart. This is what Calvin says in the Institutes, page 686, for those of you who want to check it. When we hear mention of our union with God, he said, let us remember that holiness must be its bound, not because we come into communion with him by virtue of our holiness. Rather, we ought first to cleave unto him, so that infused with his holiness, we may follow whither he calls. Wow. That really summarizes it. Let me unpack it. Unpack it for you. In Portuguese, those of you who like languages, I love languages, the word for thank you is obrigado. It comes from obligation, obliged. And verse 14 tells us we are the children of God. And as such, we are called to live a life of gratitude. And that's what Calvin is talking about. A life of gratitude that translates into right living. It's not a life of gratitude of just words, but it's a life of gratitude that shows through our lives, not just our words, the gratitude that we have towards God. This is the new way of the Spirit. And it sounds simple, but it's not. The Spirit's job is to empower us to live in that new way, but it's hard to humbly receive from God because, again, we have a hard time receiving. We'd rather earn it. It touches our flesh. Everything in us wants to do it on our own. Everything in us craves accomplishment and not submission. We have a relentless impulse to prove ourselves to God. Often due to the fact that we have not been loved unconditionally. No matter how healthy your upbringing was, you've experienced pain and rejection from parents, teachers, siblings, etc., etc. To cope with this, we have built walls for ourselves, and we are running a flesh-driven race to prove that we're worth it, to prove that we have value, instead of accepting that we have worth and accepting that we have value. We are broken. And only God's love can restore us back to health. In John 15:4, Jesus said, abide in me and I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. This is our obligation. This is our obligation. We are obliged to do this, to remain in Him. Our effectiveness comes from abiding in Him. Learn then to abide in Him, to drink His love. Abide in Him, and you will bear much, much fruit. Make it your business. Make it your business to abide in Him. Everything else will flow from that. You see, often we feel that rejection again that put us on this race, and the rejection triggers that same thing in us. I've got to prove myself. I've got to prove to my professors, to my parents, to my friends that I'm worth it, that I have worth, that I have value. And instead, we ought to simply rest, abide, connect, remain in God. And then we have that freely, not as a result of earning it, but we have it because we are in Him. And a branch that is connected can only but bear fruit, fruit of joy, happiness, effectiveness, and even success. Yes, even success. It's amazing how tired we are of this race. And it's amazing how easy it is to just rest. So today I want to end by inviting you to rest so that you may abide effectively in the one who called you from darkness into the light of His wonderful Son. This is probably the greatest fight, the greatest effort that you are called to give, because resting is harder than doing. Resting in God, however, is what will propel you to doing what is right, to lead you into right living. Let us pray. Father, thank you for Paul, who reminds us that those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We are the children of God. And as such, we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. And our job and our effort must go into resting in the one who called us, in the one who loved us, in the one who equips us. Oh, Father, forgive us for the times when that is not good enough. And we want to prove ourselves in so many ways. And help us with humility to submit and surrender and rest and abide in Him who loved us enough to die for us. So we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.